Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Joining me, thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It was a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Greg Cazera is here. Greg's back. He's a four-year member of our Brain Trust, engineer and environmentalist for many decades now. He's a past president of the Virginia Oil and Gas Association. He is leading the charge in the crescent petroleum revolution that's happening right now. I'm trying to think of the actual name. He'll tell us in a second. He's the author of Learned Leadership. He's also the author of The Truth About Hydrofracking and the Great American Boom, and he's our good friend. Jack's Just a Fracks Man, by the way, is the title of that book. Greg, welcome back.
Hey, Jim, good to be with you.
The Crescent. Tell us again, how did you say that?
Shell Crescent USA.
The Shell Crescent. The Shell Crescent.
Crescent USA. It's West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania. And Jim, that little part of the United States—it
could be New York if they weren't so stupid about fracking, wouldn't it?
You're right. We could have been. They could have easily been part of that. Instead, they've decided to go another route, which is really hurting. It's really sad because it's hurting a lot of people up there. But
yep.
We're bringing industry back into that region, and that little region, Jim, produces 32% of the nation's gas, up from 3%. And if we made a country out of that little section of the country, it would be the third largest natural gas producer in the world. Only the rest of the United States and Russia produce more gas than the Shell Crescent. So, jobs are coming in here, and it's helping the small business people because when companies expand, it helps everybody. But small business owners are one of the main beneficiaries.
That's right. See, folks, one of the things that's happening in manufacturing is they've just about got manufacturing down to a science, down to a real fine level of elegance in terms of how to make things the best they can make them with as little money. And so now they're down to the point of how do we transport it? How do we save more money transporting it? And so more and more companies are saying, well, we need to build our factories closer to the demand. We don't need to ship products from California to Massachusetts. And then so what you taught us, Greg, is they're building those factories, not just near the demand, but near the source of energy, on top of the source of energy, right?
Jim, I just love what you put the pieces together so well. That's our pitch: build on top of the feedstock in the middle of your customers. You are so spot on.
Well, I pay attention, you know, and so, and but see, the thing that I added in the beginning there is what I've been reporting on now for a long time is how manufacturers are thinking differently about manufacturing. There was a time when shipping wasn't a big deal, getting the manufacturing right was a big deal. Now they got that right. Now they're focusing on shipping, and one of the ways to solve a shipping cost is to not have to ship it, at least not nearly as far. And so this is natural gas prices are more stable than diesel prices, aren't they?
They really are. Matter of fact, natural gas today is like $3. It's a little less than $3 a thousand. And do you realize back in the 80s when I was a fracker up in Ohio, it was like $4.50, and I think even in it was in the $4 to $6 range. So natural gas, in actual dollars, I mean, forget real dollars, it's about half price of what it was in the 80s. Now, how many things are out there that you know that have fallen in price?
Not many.
Not very darn many.
Mm-mm, that's exactly right. So natural,
and we have it in abundance. That's the other thing.
Give us a report on where things are with LNG, liquefied natural gas, the whole port situation. I mean, there are two or three things out there, Greg, that I think if when these things happen, we will see an economic expansion like we've never seen before. One of them is getting the trade deal done with China and Europe and Canada and Mexico. We get those behind us. The economy is going to leap off the ground, I'm convinced. Number two, we make natural gas a ubiquitous commodity in a liquefied form traveling the world and well-developed stations around the world. We make that happen. That's another quantum leap. What do you think?
It is. And you know, the rest of the world, I talked to a huge company in Asia at the World Petrochemical Conference, and you know what they want? We're convincing them that you need to come here because they don't have any gas over there. They're trying to find ways to get our natural gas. Well, that's okay, but even they're at a huge competitive disadvantage. By the time you ship gas from West Virginia to India, and they make something and ship it out, it's a whole lot cheaper for them to make it here. So that's what our
American companies are doing that too. Right. The natural gas situation is another reason for onshoring, right?
Absolutely.
American companies bringing those jobs back.
We are, and we're seeing it right now. Matter of fact, in my little town here in West Virginia, they hired 20 engineers last year and brought in a regional business development manager that was out of state that's here. So that was 21 huge jobs. That doesn't count some of the technicians they hired.
Right.
Well, you know, Elkview's only got like 1,500 people. So you take a company that hires 20 engineers, and these are young people that are going to buy homes, that are eating restaurants, they're buying big screen TVs and having kids. That's the stuff that starts to grow our economy.
Right. No, that's exactly
and
right.
And then it benefits small business owners because who's selling them, though? You've got the real estate agents. You've got local restaurants that are
but
just
Greg, I need, now. I need a liquefied natural gas update. Tell us where that is right now. How are the ports going?
We have massive amounts of natural gas. And the biggest danger that I see isn't we can produce it for the next 400 or 500 years. I mean, that's how much we have. And I was just at a meeting last week that talking about other reservoirs that I didn't even hear about that they're starting to develop. So we've got the gas. But then you have what happens in a place like Congress, this new Green Deal. And
I'm going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Are we focusing on exporting liquefied natural gas? Is that making progress?
We absolutely are. Yes, we are. And we're already seeing companies. Matter of fact, there's one company in Europe, one in Asia, that have built these, what they call them, dragon ships.
Terminal.
And they're actually shipping natural gas, like, to the port of Philadelphia, and it's going to Europe to fuel their crackers. We've got, it's going to the Gulf Coast, and it's being exported to Asia. And then we're already got Cove Point that's fully utilized shipping natural gas.
Is natural gas denominated? Is it in dollars, or is it a different
currency? It's in dollars,
So natural gas is in dollars just like crude.
Exactly.
That's huge, folks. That makes the dollar our best weapon on many levels. 20 after. Right back with Greg Cazera. We're going to talk about the Green New Deal, the Green Stupid Deal, after the break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.